Alrighty, well, you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to John chapter 8. We're going to start in John chapter 8 in verse 31. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on freedom. Freedom. John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And it's the absolute will of God that the people be free. Right? He wants his people to be free. God does not want people to be bound or chained or imprisoned by anything in this life. It is God's will for us to be free. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. And in John, we saw the key to that freedom, right? We have to believe the word, which is truth, and we have to believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, right? That is where that freedom lies. The truth will make us free. And if we believe on Jesus Christ, we will be free indeed. And prisons can be all kinds of things, right? They don't just have to be physical walls or bars, right? Prisons can be guilt or self-condemnation. They can be debt. It can be sickness. It can be fear or worry or anxiety. It can be addiction, right? All of that stuff can cause a person to be bound or imprisoned, right? And God wants us free from all of those things. Any one of those things is something that God wants us to be free from. And in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
That's right. Holy Spirit means that we are free, right? Liberty is freedom. And it says here that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? We have that freedom in our lives because we're born again believers, right? We've been set free from the power of sin and death, which we'll see. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. So we've got this word of God, which when we know it and we believe it, sets us free. And we have Holy Spirit. We believed on Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us. And that makes us free indeed. Psalm 103, verse 11. So what have we been set free from? It says, "For as high, or as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him or respect him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our" what? "Transgressions from us." That's right. We're as righteous as God Himself, right? We're as righteous as it gets. Anything negative from your past is forgiven. Anything negative from your past is forgiven. God loves you no matter what. No matter what you came from, no matter what you did, no matter who you are, God loves you. And there's great freedom in that. As far as the east is from the west, He's removed our transgressions from us. Right? There's freedom in that. Those are things that we can dwell on or we could think about all the time. But God says, He's removed them from us. Why do we hang on to them if He's removed them from us? There's great freedom in that. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Right? So if this idea of guilt or self-condemnation is something that binds somebody, well, God says He's removed those transgressions from us. God says that we're righteous. Right? God says that we're forgiven. And that's what we need to believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, and God is able. God is what?
Able.
That's right. To make all grace abound toward you. That you always, that means at all times, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Right? So God promises that we always, so at all times, have all sufficiency in all things. That's a lot of all. Right? It covers everything. But God is our sufficiency. God is our sufficiency. So if we feel like maybe we're not worthy or we don't have the things that we need, that's not the truth of God's word. We have all sufficiency in all things at all times so that we can do what God wants us to do and what He's called us to do. That we can abound to every good work. Go to Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall, and that's absolutely, supply all your need. All, not some of it, but all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Right? God supplies all of our need. Every bit of it. Right? That's His desire. And He is able. We saw that in the previous verse. So God wants to, and He's able to supply all of our need, right? God has the resources. There's not a resource that God is lacking in order to take care of us, right? So maybe our prison is a material or financial one, right? Well, God promises to supply all of our need, right? There were records in the gospel where they needed money to pay the taxes. And Jesus Christ was like, go catch a fish. And they found the money in its mouth. Like, that's ridiculous. But that's God, right? He's going to take care of it. All we have to do is believe that He will. We don't have to figure out how it's going to happen. That's God's job. He's the one with the resources. All we have to do is believe because He wants to. Go to verse 6 of this same chapter. Verse 6. Be careful or anxious for those really big deal things, because they're hard.
For nothing.
That's right. For nothing. For nothing. So, there's nothing we should be anxious about. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what's the result? The peace of God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Somebody's been doing their returns. That's good. That's really good.
Crushing it over there.
So we can have great peace. That's a promise of God. right? He doesn't want us to be anxious about anything. And man, do we live in a time and a generation right now where that's promoted and it's celebrated, right? Oh, I've got all kinds of anxiety and mental pressures and depression, and people wear it like a badge, right? But that's a trick of the adversary. He wants to see people in that condition. He wants to see people, you know, doing mental gymnastics all the time, trying to figure life out and being depressed. But God's made it so that we can be free from that, right? That we don't have to be anxious about anything. We don't have to be fearful or worry about a single thing. But that we just take it to God. And then we can have great peace as a result. We can have great peace. We need more people talking about how they have great peace. Mm-hmm. Right? Great peace in their lives. That's the promise of God. Right? He provides peace where somebody would otherwise be anxious or worried. And there's great freedom in that. Mm-hmm. Go to 3 John, the book of 3 John, verse 2. I mean, I bet you if you walked down the street today and asked anybody if they could use more peace in their lives, no one's going to tell you, that would stink. That doesn't sound good to me. Right? So we've got something to give and something to share. Something that will help people. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things..." Above all things, God's great desire for us is that we may prosper and be in what? Health. Even as thy soul prospers. Right? God's will for us is to be prosperous and healthy people. That's what he wants to see his kids be. Right? As parents, that's what we want for our children. Right? When we look at our kids, we want them to be prosperous, successful, and healthy. Right? We want to see their lives be abundant. And that's what God wants for us. Right? And that means freedom from sicknesses and disease and debts and financial burdens. Right? That's available. That's what God wants for our lives. Right? So if those are things that are holding us back, God's desire is for you to be prosperous and healthy. You just have to claim those promises. There's great freedom in that. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The world is going to try to tell you that you should have more. That's the other trick. Right, but there's great freedom in knowing that our needs are met, that God is our sufficiency, right? You can easily get wrapped up in the idea that what you have isn't enough when God tells you that what you've got is all that you need, right? To be happy and to live a prosperous life. In Romans 8, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and what?
Death."
Death. Right? And that's referring to the old law, right? The law was not able to save people's souls. It was just a way for them to understand how to be in fellowship with God. Right, but this Holy Spirit that we've been given, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's made us free from the law of sin and death. We're free from death, right? I mean, you really think about how incredible that is. You know, our earthly life may end, but we have eternal life with God. We are going to get to spend eternity with God our Father. Right? No matter what happens here on this earth. And that's a great hope that we can look forward to. And there's great freedom in that hope. Right? That's why we have a hope. So that you know, when stuff gets heavy or gets hard here, we've got something to look forward to. And there's great freedom in remembering that hope, that we are free from sin and death. Go to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is where?"
In the world.
In the world. We have overcome, right? Greater is he. It's Christ in us. It's God in Christ in us. So greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Right? So if there is something that you're facing, if there is something that's, you know, weighing you down or got you burdened, right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome. It's already been done. Right? Jesus Christ is coming back and nothing can stop us from going to heaven. Right? We've already won. We've already overcome. So whatever it is that we're dealing with in this life is just truly for a moment. Truly for a moment. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. So if we change our believing and our thinking to, well, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, right? It's going to make things a lot easier for us. There's great freedom in that truth. And these are all truths in God's word. Truths that we can cling to, truths that we can remind ourselves of instead of the things that are holding us back. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him," which is God, "that is able," once again, he's able, "to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." That's an incredible phrase, right? It's not just he can do above all. It's not just abundantly above all. It's ridiculously, exceedingly, incredibly above all that we could ask or think. Mm-hmm. Right? And I can think of some pretty incredible things. I've got quite the imagination. Mm-hmm. Right? But God is able to go beyond even that, according to the power that works in us. Right?
Yeah.
God is at work in us. He is at work in us. There is great power in this Holy Spirit that we have. Right? And God told us in Philippians that he just wants us to go to him with that stuff. Right? He wants us, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to give it to him. And he promises that he's going to take care of it. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Right? We got to name it and claim it, is what they used to say, right? We got to name it and claim it. And he's able and willing, right? We simply can't or mustn't limit God in our lives by confessing anything that's less than what the word says, right? If you believe what the word of God says, it'll come to pass in your life. If you confess anything less than or slightly below or not quite up to what the word says, then you're limiting what God can do for you in your life and the power that you will manifest, right? The truth of God's word is what sets us free, right? So we need to confess exactly what the word of God says, because we are who the word of God says we are, and we will be what the word of God says we will be. Go to Galatians chapter 5. And it's not that God isn't able. He is able and willing. We just have to rise up and believe, right, that and confess what the word of God says and believe that it is in fact true. In Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us what?
Free.
And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Right? So once you claim that freedom and that deliverance, don't go back. Don't regress. Mm-hmm. Don't start to talk yourself out of it like you didn't deserve what you got. You're a son of God, right? God wanted to do that for you. So stand fast. Stay put on the truth, right? That broke those chains, that got you that freedom. And stand firm on your believing and who God called you to be and where your place is in this great body of Christ. Right? God called you to be his kid, and he placed you in this body where it pleased him, where it made him happy to have you. And so if God is happy that you're here and where you are and what your place is in the body, then you can be too, right? So once we find that freedom, we want to stand fast on it. We want to hold to it. We want to cling to it. We want to continue to believe what the Word of God says about who we are and what we have, the Word of God says we can have.